Call meeting Public Health to order, please. Ms. Gilroy, will you take the roll, please?
Chairman Priest.
Here.
Senator Murphy.
Excuse.
Senator Caffaro. Senator Esmond.
Excuse.
Senator Gillen. Senator Hutton.
Excuse.
Senator Lewis. Senator Van Dyke. Thank you.
We will go ahead and open the hearing, please, on Joint Resolution 20. Senator Wittig.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of this committee. My name is Art Wittig. I represent Senate District 35, which is the western and southern portion of Gallatin County from Three Forks to West Yellowstone. What you have before you today is a Senate resolution for an interim study. The reason I bring this to you is it appears that our Medicaid costs will be going up quite dramatically here in the next few years with the passage of the Federal Health Care Act. And what I wanted to do, I actually had a bill to privatize those functions at the department dealing with eligibility. I decided not to bring it because I wasn't sure it could create savings. But there are states that are looking at ways to cut costs in a variety of ways, including privatizing some activities, looking at some managed care. And so what this would do would be to give us 2 years to really get into the details of what Montana could do. Congressional Budget Office says that we may be spending up to $175 million extra under the new Federal Health Care Act. So we're looking for ways to economize. I understand the department will be opposing the study. For the life of me, I can't understand why, in that they have looked at some efforts to cut costs here and there, and I would think that they would want to find other ways to cut costs. So with that, I will let the testimony go forward, and I'll be willing to answer questions.
Are there any proponents?
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bill Warden. I'm here on behalf of St. Peter's Hospital in Helena and also Benefis Health Systems. As it turns out, Senator Wittig is actually my senator, and we were in an early conversation that sort of morphed into Senate Bill 351, which dealt with the five-county sort of test pilot on managed Medicaid, and out of that came this that we believe is sort of a companion bill. And I'd like to say that we're excited about this. We think it has a lot of merit, and particularly due to the fact that what we're going to talk about in this bill on page 211 identify services or administrative activities that might be privatized and the costs or cost savings of privatizing the service or activities. And more importantly, line 15, number 4, review the effect that strategies used in other states have had on costs, access to care, and quality of care in those states. And we think that should have been looked at in the five-county demonstration and wasn't. And so we're excited about this, and we would urge you to pass. Thank you.
Additional proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mark Taylor on behalf of the Montana Hospital Association. If you look on page 2, line 19, the hospital associations referenced in the study itself, we're happy to participate in this process and appreciate a seat at the table. Thank you.
Any additional proponents? How about opponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we, Hank Hudson from the Department of Public Health, and we respectfully oppose this, and our reasons, certainly not because we don't recognize the value of trying to find every way to stretch the Medicaid dollars as far as you can, but we have a limited number of staff. We're the Medicaid state agency. We would be deeply involved in any study to make major changes to Medicaid, and we think what staff we have will be fully engaged in trying to stretch what money we have to get the job done, and it's a workload issue for us, and certainly nothing out of disrespect for the idea, but it's just we have limited staff, and we know we'd be deep into this study. There's no way to get around that. Thank you.
Are there any additional opponents? Informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Senator Gillen.
Mr. Chair, for the sponsor.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Wittig, one of the questions I've had is that what is your anticipated outcome? Would the anticipated outcome of this study be to then come forward with a legislative agenda for next year, or a management agenda or administrative agenda? I'm just sort of wanting to figure out where your focus was.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gillen, yes. I don't know where it's going, but I think a core function of government should be trying to find ways to improve how they deliver services. They should want to know how they can improve the delivery of services. And I don't know what the result will be. I don't know if I would think, though, that there would probably be suggestions on legislative changes. I would think that there would be management suggestions on how the department operates, but I have no preconceived ideas as to where we're going.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Wade, just a quick follow-up. Since one of my sort of minor concerns is that the whole Medicaid program is so broad that not that you have to do it in this joint resolution, but let's say the study was picked and then it went on to the assignment of the committee. Do you have any thoughts as to whether it might be possible to sort of narrow a little bit the focus during the interim study in case it became so extensive that, as it was said from the department, it took up too many resources? Just any thoughts in that area?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gillen, I would think the first meeting would be to have some type of a scoping meeting where we try to narrow it down. I mean, obviously Medicaid is a big program, but I think, Senator Gillen, that's why we need this, because I would think that with a big program there could be savings, as opposed to taking our time in the next 2 years studying a much smaller program of state government. So to me, the argument by the department that it would be too massive, I think, is the reason why we need to do it.
Okay, Mr. Chair, and then Senator Wittig, just one last follow-up. And just to sort of tell you or be more specific as to why I was concerned that it could be too broad is that on page 2, line 16, lines 50 and 16, you talk about reviewing the strategies that are used in other states and had on cost, access to care, and quality of care in those states. And my concern was is you weren't anticipating that there would be any original data collection, that it would all be just looking at studies to get an idea of where secondary resources as opposed to primary studies. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gillen, I've heard that Florida has found some innovative ways to save. Maybe the committee could go down there and see it firsthand. No. I don't anticipate doing any original study work, but looking at what's out there, because my understanding is that, and including Florida, I wasn't trying to be too funny, there are states that have found some real savings, and I think that would be fairly easy to assemble.
Thank you.
Are there additional questions from the committee? Well, I have one for Mr. Hudson. No, Mr. Hudson, I just remember sitting down in subsection B, and this is, you know, an enormous part of the budget. And I'm trying to remember right now if there have been some programs that I know we use funds creatively, and I know that we have applied for waivers to cover new segments of population, but can you just describe a little bit about some of the cost savings and innovations that have gone on. I'm just not off the top of my head remembering some of the things, and I'm just curious kind of where, because I think that's one of the things that Senator Wittig is getting at, and you know, it's a huge budget. There's a lot of people thinking and trying to get their arms around this. So where are we as a state in this process?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, every piece of Medicaid, starting with eligibility, through the delivery of the service, through the payment of the providers, has people right now looking at how to do it better, how to save money. So, for example, in the part that I'm responsible for, we're moving towards paperless system through what's called the RAMP project, getting rid of paper and being able to assign eligibility work across the state electronically so that we can use fewer eligibility staff and even out the workload. We've centralized some of the processes. We've gone to telephone, which is interesting because that's Florida. One of the things they did is reduce the face-to-face contact people can have with eligibility workers as a cost savings, but we've looked at some of that. We have, when you get into the services, our primary cost-saving strategies have been utilization review, which we've lost some of that money this session, but that's one of the things we do is we review the utilization of services to make sure, you know, to find patterns of waste. We have high cost groups that are case managed so that they're, if they want services, if their population of people that tend to use a lot of services in a not very strategic manner, we require them to go through a single point to authorize the service. The passport program is an example of that. We have programs then at the other end where we're paying people to provide services. We have a whole process of looking at fraud and abuse of providers, and so those are some of the areas. This bill speaks, the study resolution speaks specifically to capitated systems, and we have some experience with capitation. Some of it's been successful and some of it hasn't, but that is a cost control method of shifting the risk to someone else besides the state if costs go higher than anticipated. So we have done some capitated work. The mental health managed care project, sort of the most infamous one, but there's been other efforts of capitation. I think the PACE project is another example of attempting to manage holistically people's health care. That's sort of a one city effort.
Just a follow-up, Mr. President. Was the PACE program in your executive budget?
I believe it's out of the budget.
Was it in your recommended budget, the department's recommended budget?
And I'm a little into Mary Dalton's area right now, and she's out of town, but I'm thinking PACE was either part of the governor's 5% reductions or the 5% reductions that the legislature took that weren't in the – I'd have to look, though. That's right.
Okay, Hank, was PACE the last sort of innovation proposal that you're aware of? Because did we have some this year, or do you know?
Mr. Chairman, my memory, and I am a little out of my area, which is eligibility, but my memory is that the other ones that are cost savers are relatively small, specific population-focused ones, some youth mental health, you know, trying to manage youth mental health and keep them in state, some of those smaller ones, but PACE might have been the last major one.
Thanks, Mr. Hudson. Are there any questions from the committee? I have one more for Mr. Warden, if you guys don't have any.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Warden, something that we've talked about, and you've been able to explain it, I just wanted to hear it again as I'm thinking about this, because it is ambitious. I mean, I think as a critique, but there's something about it that strikes me as a good idea. But the for hospitals, this population is a pretty big, you know, pretty big part of the payer mix. On the one hand, it's, you know, it's a big part of the payer mix. On the other hand, you know, sometimes rates are low, and you know, and so describe for me what you guys would hope to get out of this. I mean, on the one hand, it could shrink your business, you know, and on the other hand, you know, you could argue that the status quo is fine. So help me understand kind of why you're eager to do this and where you would, where you, if, and if you were going to narrow it, would you have some ideas about where you might narrow it?
Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of in an interesting spot on this. I have one of the hospitals that I'm here representing today does a very limited amount of Medicaid work. The other hospital does a lot of Medicaid work, and they would have been part of this five-county test, or may still be part of that. I guess we'll see how that sorts itself out. And I think that this, the whole concept of managed Medicaid is sort of spreading across the country, and we in our industry get some positive reports and some negative reports, and I think our thought as regards this study would be to be at the table, see what's going on throughout the country, and I think we want to be part of what we feel is going to have to be a solution in the future, that you know, we're going to deal with a Medicaid load that's going to be very difficult to handle on a financial basis, and we want to be at the table trying to figure out how to help the state reduce those liabilities and those obligations, and at the same time be able to take care of those folks that are under that program, and we think that this gives us an opportunity, and others as well, not just hospitals. You see the other people that have been involved in this to weigh in and have a seat at the table to see whether this is indeed a solution that can help not only the hospitals but the state of Montana in terms of controlling these costs. Was that?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it is. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any additional questions from the committee? Sponsor, let's close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My goal is not for this study effort to be in any way antagonistic with what the department's doing. They've tried to come up with some cost savings measures. We know the governor is trying to look at some innovative things. I think it's proper for the legislature to focus on this and, frankly, I think prioritize it, and I think work in a complementary fashion with the governor's office and the department and industry. So with that, I ask that you pass this on to the Senate floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Whitting. That'll close the hearing on Senate Joint Resolution 20. Members of the committee, we can take executive action on a couple of things if you guys are up for it since we're here. And I think we can include Senate Joint Resolution 20 if you want to.
So, Mr. Chairman, I do pass on Senate Joint Resolution 20. It has to meet the transmittal deadline too, doesn't it, because of what it is. So I move to pass.
Thank you, Senator Lewis. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Question.
Do you want a roll call vote, or can we just all those
voice
in favor?
Vote.
I thought we could do a voice.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could move on, I'd like to make a motion to table House Bill 410. I just was reading the fiscal note, which I didn't have in my folder before, and I didn't realize it was $1.2 million a year. This is the perform an analysis on specific categories of providers who contract with the department. And, well, as you know, having been through Senate Finance and Claims, $1.2 million a year, I don't think is doable.
Thanks, Senator Lewis. And the motion to table Senate Bill 410. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, although a motion to table is non-debatable, I do think that we should discuss it for a couple of minutes if the senator wouldn't mind withdrawing his motion. Otherwise, we can vote on it.
Okay. I'll withdraw the motion, but I do have to go eat, you know. Just kidding, Senator.
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm just trying to get out of here to, you know, time to go get something to eat, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right, well, Mr. Chair, I'll move to pass on House Bill 410.
Thank you, Senator Gillen. Is there discussion on the motion?
And the reason I wanted to just raise an issue is that it was my understanding that the sponsor had some concerns, or there were some concerns that the fiscal note was more fiction than fact. And for a while, Representative Fury was actually in the room, or there was someone in the room that was going to speak to 410. Is there anyone? And the reason I thought that when I was reading the fiscal note, I was trying to figure out how they came up with a study. I mean, how they could get a $1.2 million fiscal note on what the bill did. And then as you look down on page one of the fiscal note, they did a study in 2008, which cost $76,000. And so they simply divided the number of providers into the cost of the study, and that just seemed a little bit, if that's the basis, I thought it was a little bit of a different way to project the cost. So if there was someone in the room who might be able to speak to the veracity of the fiscal note without objection, I was just going to ask that.
Senator Gillen, I think that we don't have, the fiscal note's been around for a while, 314. We don't have a sponsor's rebuttal. I don't really want to open the hearing, have another hearing on this.
No, I understand. I wasn't suggesting another hearing. I just want to know if there had been some change that the fiscal note, it's House Bill 410, fiscal note number 2, and while it is dated 314, I didn't know whether someone had like a two-sentence comment as to why the fiscal note was so high. But if not, I just think that supposedly, speaking with the sponsor and some of the proponents, that they felt strongly that they would like to see House Bill 410 continue, and that the fiscal note really was a significant overstatement. So I'll leave it with that.
Senator Lewis.
I was just going to make the substitute motion to table. Is that acceptable at this point? Thank you.
Ms. Gilbert, would you call roll, please? Or
Chairman Priest?
Yes, to table.
For Senator Murphy?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Cafaro? Senator Esmond?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Gillen? Senator Hutton?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Lewis?
Yes.
Senator Van Dyke? 5 yes and 3 no.
I'm going to make a motion on House Bill 409, but I don't want to do it if someone wants discussion. Same issue, I guess. I'm reading the fiscal note. Two department employees would participate, and then the impact on technical advisors being appointed by the Rates Commission is unknown. There's a, you know, there is a cost in here. I just don't think that it was really established that there was a need to spend money at this point on this kind of activity. So, Mr. Chairman, my motion was to table, or is to table.
Ms. Gilroy, would you take the vote first, please?
Chairman Priest?
Yes, to table.
Senator Murphy?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Cafaro? Senator Esmond?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Gillen? Senator Hutton?
Yes, by proxy.
Senator Lewis?
Yes.
Senator Van Dyke? 5 yes and 3 no. Motion to table passes.
Senator Gill, would you like to move your...
Senate Joint Resolution 18. I think, I don't want to repeat the hearing, I think it has some merit. It will have to reach the hurt, you'll have to go through many more hurdles, but I do think because of the impact of healthcare on our economy, and healthcare workforce on our economy in a real positive light, because these are some of the highest paying jobs, that it is a valuable study, and ask for a due pass.
Thank you, Senator Gillen. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor would say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you, Senator Gillen.
Thank you. Who should we have to carry on the floor? Oh, well, that's me.
Senator Van Dyke, would you like to carry on?
I want it to pass.
Thank you. We're done for the day.
Senator, did you want me to do something with 526? Or?
You know what? Why don't we?
Since okay. Here. Good enough. Thank you.
Well, I think you're suggesting, sorry, Senator Gillen, but yeah, if you wanted to make a motion to table 526, that's fine with me.
No, we can just leave it here for now if you
okay.
wish.
All right.